Herzlich willkommen zur ersten Ausgabe von Crop FM Spezial. Im Rahmen dieser neuen Schiene auf Crop FM wird es ab jetzt immer wieder Mitschnitte, Interviews und Beiträge über interessante Menschen und Ereignisse geben, die im Fischauge der sogenannten Massenmedien keinen Platz finden. Anders als die regulären Sendungen werden die Ausgaben von Crop FM Spezial ausschließlich vorproduzierte Beiträge sein, die nur online bzw. als Podcast erscheinen. Den Anfang macht ein Mitschnitt eines Nachmittags bei Credo Mutwa. Im Zwiegespräch mit dem belgischen Arzt André geht es vor allem um ein Thema, AIDS und die Wurzeln dieses Syndroms. Credo Sicht der Dinge wird sicher viele schockieren. Doch wer ist dieser Mann? Zu Beginn Elke Maria Watzlawiczek über AIDS in Südafrika und den weisen Zulu, Credo Mutwa.
Ich würde ihn zu einem der wenigen wirklich weisen Alten zählen. Das heißt, es ist, glaube ich, einer, der ein sehr würdiges Leben gelebt hat, auch wenn es im Sinne von unserem europäischen Denken vielleicht sagst, ja, Wahnsinn, eingesperrt auch mehrere Jahre und politisch sehr schwierig. Aber wenn man den Credo Mutwa erlebt und kennt, dann ist es einfach jemand, vor dem man, glaube ich, ziemlich automatisch eine Achtung hat, vor dessen Leben man einen Hut zieht und der einfach durch seine Liebenswürdigkeit und sein sehr weiches Herz auch erobert, denke ich mir. Und durch sein unglaubliches Wissen und durch seine Vielfältigkeit, so würde ich ihn jetzt einfach einmal beschreiben, als einen sehr, sehr weisen, alten Mann.
Es gibt natürlich auf der Website auch einige andere Clips von Credo von diesem Nachmittag. In, wie heißt jetzt nochmal schnell, die Milady, glaube ich, heißt die, Nilady. Das Ressort, in dem Credo, Nilady, glaube ich, heißt.
Nein?
Nalady. Nalady, okay.
Das Lichthaus.
Okay, also wir waren da dort und Credo hat über alle möglichen Dinge gesprochen. Unter anderem über AIDS. Da auch entwickelte sich dieses Zwiegespräch zwischen ihm und André, der Mediziner ist und sich immer mehr der Homöopathie zugewendet hat in den letzten Jahren, so wie ich das verstanden habe. Credo macht sehr kontroversielle Aussagen über die Krankheit AIDS und über das Entstehen der Krankheit AIDS. Und zwar steigt das Interview gleich mit eigentlich seiner Kernaussage dazu ein. Für viele wird das wahrscheinlich schockierend bis, ja, fast ein bisschen zu weitgehend sein. Wie ist denn das einzuschätzen, wenn jemand wie Credo Mutwa solche Dinge sagt, wie er in diesem Interview über AIDS sagt?
Ich merke, je mehr ich mich mit der Krankheit AIDS beschäftige, je mehr ich damit zu tun habe in Südafrika, desto verwirrender wird es für mich. Je mehr ich darüber höre, lese, weiß, desto komplizierter wird es für mich und ich werde selber immer unklarer, wem oder was oder welcher Aussage ich trauen soll. Vor allem wird es dann immer verrückt, wenn du beobachtest, wie es den Menschen mit der Krankheit selber geht, wie sie agieren, was sich da abspielt im Körper. Aber grundsätzlich denke ich mir, es ist einmal auf jeden Fall zu sagen, wenn jemand mit dem Wissen und mit der persönlichen Betroffenheit wie Credo Mutwa eine Aussage dieser Art macht, würde ich sie einmal nicht so ganz schnell als Blödsinn auf die Seite wischen, wie ich es vielleicht bei jemand anderem leider vielleicht auch manchmal ungerechterweise machen würde. Weil ich mir denke, der Mann setzt sich jetzt seit ewigen Zeiten damit auseinander und es ist ihm wirklich ein ganz persönliches, großes Herzensanliegen. Erstens, weil er selber betroffen ist innerhalb seines Familienkreises, aber auch, weil er sich als höchstrangiger Zulu-Schamane für sein Volk verantwortlich fühlt und es einfach schlimm anzuschauen ist, wie die Zahl der Erkrankungen gestiegen ist. Ich meine, ich weiß, dass man da jetzt wieder diskutieren kann, wie weit sind es jetzt die sowieso alten Krankheiten, wie weit ist es AIDS. Die Realität ist einfach, dass die Betroffenheit im Land sehr, sehr groß ist und ich denke mir, Credo Mutwa als alter Heiler dieses Landes sich dem und dieser Verantwortung auch nicht entzieht, sich betroffen zu fühlen. Und von dem her denke ich mir, ist es schon prüfenswert, würde ich sagen, was er da sagt.
Du hast selbst dich mit AIDS-Kranken auch in Afrika. Ja. Ordentliches Gewitter.
Du hast der Himmel hört uns zu.
Du hast ja selbst mit AIDS-Kranken in Afrika direkt beschäftigt oder du hast Kontakt gehabt mit Betroffenen. Wie schätzt du die Situation ein, jetzt in Südafrika und in Afrika allgemein, was diese Krankheit anbelangt und die Ausbreitung etc.?
Naja, ich denke mir halt, dass das Problem grundsätzlich in einem Land wie Südafrika, wo sehr, sehr viele Menschen einfach nur auf der Straße leben, wo sehr viele Menschen unter ärmsten Verhältnissen leben, insofern extrem schwierig ist, weil in dem Land die Abhängigkeiten von den sozialen Familienverbänden einfach noch viel, viel größer sind als bei uns. Das heißt, es gibt wenig Auswege zu sagen, man geht in irgendwelche vom Staat unterstützten Institutionen. Das heißt, es ist wirklich so, dass du abhängig bist davon, vom Familienverband versorgt zu werden. Wenn jetzt und wenn es jetzt einfach so ist, dass eine Krankheit und ich weiß, dass ich mich da jetzt auf schwierige Wege begebe, wenn ich AIDS als Krankheit überhaupt bezeichne, weil es da einfach ganz kontroversielle Aussagen gibt und Diskussionen gibt. Aber es ist auf jeden Fall so, dass wenn man jetzt selbst sagt, AIDS als solches existiert nicht, so muss man doch sagen, dass in Südafrika viel mehr Personen als früher und mindestens ein Viertel mehr als früher an diesen sogenannten alten Krankheiten wie Hepatitis und dergleichen sterben. Und das wird zumindest, sage ich jetzt, nach wie vor als HIV oder AIDS bezeichnet dort und das löst natürlich in der Bevölkerung etwas aus. Und die Angst vor dieser Krankheit verändert natürlich das ganze soziale Umfeld. Und es ist einfach so, dass du merkst, wenn jemand als HIV positiv bestätigt wurde vom Amt, dass dann die volle Panik ausbricht. Ich habe dort AIDS-Kranke wirklich in völlig körperlichem Chaos erlebt. Das sage ich jetzt von der Sicht einer Hellfühligen, die einfach mitspürt, was in dem Körper desjenigen oder derjenigen passiert. Und ich denke mir, da schwingt halt ganz viel auch die Angst mit, aus dem sozialen Verband draußen zu sein. Und es gibt Dinge, die sind bei uns nicht so ganz nachvollziehbar oder verstehbar, weil natürlich unsere Bildungswege anders sind. Aber wenn du dir überlegst, dass da einfach noch ganz viele oder die Mehrzahl der Leute in Soweto zum Beispiel Analphabeten sind und dass man dann, dass es ein sehr schwieriger Weg ist, gewisse Informationen allen Leuten zustecken zu können, dann kann man sich vielleicht vorstellen, wie schwierig das auch ist, die Information zum Beispiel auszubreiten, dass AIDS nicht in dieser Form ansteckend ist, vielleicht, wie viele glauben. Und von dem her, ich denke mir einfach, es ist ein ganz massives Problem. Es ist wirklich ein massives Problem, das mich nach wie vor sehr, sehr betroffen macht und ja, es ist unvorstellbar bei uns. Unvorstellbar bei uns, was das wirklich bedeutet, HIV-positiv in Südafrika zu sein. Und gleichzeitig unvorstellbar, dass, wenn man denkt, jeder Vierte, das heißt, es gibt eigentlich keine Familie, die nicht davon betroffen ist. Und ich glaube, es ist sehr schwierig, da zu sagen, wir schließen die Augen davor, das hat mit uns nichts zu tun oder das ist weit weg oder wie auch immer, weil ich mir denke, so einfach spürt es nicht. Die Dinge sind viel näher, als wir glauben.
Der nun folgende Mitschnitt entstand im November 2005 auf Naledi, dem ehemaligen Wohnsitz Credo Mutwas in Magaliesburg, Pretoria. Eine kleine Gruppe aus Europa hat sich in diesem wunderschön gelegenen Guesthaus eingefunden, um den spirituellen Führer der Zulus zu treffen, um mehr über ihn, sein Leben und seine Sicht der Welt zu erfahren. Sehr bald fokussiert sich das Gespräch auf AIDS, einem der größten Probleme Südafrikas und des ganzen Kontinents. Im Gespräch zwischen Credo und dem belgischen Arzt André erhalten wir nicht nur faszinierende Einblicke in die Heilpraktiken der beiden Männer. Credo spricht auch sehr offen über seine persönlichen Gedanken zum Thema AIDS. Dabei wird schnell klar, dass seine Perspektive sehr stark von der gängigen Schulmeinung abweicht.
What is strange about AIDS is that many lies have been told about it by scientists deliberately to take us away from the truth. One piece of nonsense they tell us is that AIDS come from the monkeys. That is a lot of, how you say in French, merde.
Yeah.
And because the meat of monkeys is something we have been eating for thousands of years, why was there no AIDS then? Another thing, AIDS has got men who help it spread in South Africa. These men kill people. These men kill our people with guns. If you are successful in helping people with AIDS, you are killed. The first African traditional healer who started fighting AIDS in West Africa, he was later found shot dead. But wait, the police said he had killed himself, which is nonsense. A traditional healer, a person like me, can't kill himself, because if I could, I would have done it long ago, because life has made me tired. Why can't a traditional healer anyway in Africa kill himself? Because we believe in the religion of reincarnation, doctor. But I believe that if a man or a woman kill themselves, they no longer can go from life to life to life. They stop, it's finished. Another thing, many years ago, in the 1940s during the war, and in the 1950s, I used to read magazines and books which told us that one day the Western scientists will find a cure for cancer, will find a cure for the common cold, a cure for everything. But with AIDS, we are told that there will never be a cure for AIDS. And we, men like me and women like Virginia, we ask ourselves, how do these white people know that there will never be a cure for AIDS? And we come to one conclusion, Doctor. They know something about AIDS that we don't, because they made AIDS. AIDS is not a God-made disease, Doctor. It's not like tuberculosis. AIDS is one of the diseases that were deliberately created to destroy certain people. Now, this sounds terrible, but the evidence is very big, Doctor. We are told that AIDS is incurable.
That's not true.
Exactly.
It can be cured.
Yes.
It can be cured by the aid of the doctors, traditional or alternative, that's the same, but also you can cure yourself from AIDS.
Exactly.
If you have the belief that you will overcome AIDS, then you can cure AIDS. You can cure all things.
Yes, I know. I have had cancer now for 2 years. Even my wife did not know. The law of our people says that certain diseases are alive, that if you are afraid, trembling like the disease will eat you. But if you are brave, you say, me, I am the child of God, no disease can kill me. But with AIDS, Doctor, people who have got AIDS have been given a thought that they are deity, that they are incurable, that, and they hate themselves, they have no pride. Now, Doctor, in the clinic I'm hoping to build, I want to do for many people what I did for my own children. If you love yourself, and you say to the disease, you can't kill me. I am strong. You are a parasite, and a parasite on a big tree can't kill that tree. For this reason, sir, I want that. One person, funnily enough, who inspired me in this is a woman I never saw. A woman who gave a big message to the world, and she was killed. Who was this woman?
Princess Diana.
Princess Diana of Britain. Princess Diana went against what the doctors were teaching about AIDS at that time. According to the teaching of that time, the doctors were teaching people that it is dangerous even to hold a person with AIDS. But Diana showed in the newspapers that you can hug a person with AIDS. It was said that the virus of AIDS is capable of, if a person was sitting on the toilet and the other person comes it there, the second person will get AIDS, it was said. But Princess Diana said that is not true. A child of the kings of England, she showed the whole world to be brave. Here in Africa, the poison which was spread by the doctors of that time is still alive here. If a person comes to his friends and say, my friends, I think I got AIDS, you know what the friends do even now? No, ma'am, they take stones and they kill that person dead. It's happened hundreds of times. Not so long ago, a great black woman was killed in Durban. She was Gugu, her name. Her surname was Dube, D-U-B-E. She was the grandchild of one of the men who founded the African National Congress, John Dube. John Dube escaped to America many years ago, and there he studied in America, and he came back to South Africa, and because he had big education, the government locked him up. For 8 months he was locked up in jail for nothing, because he was thought to be very dangerous. John Dube, he came out of jail and he did a number of great things. One, he built a school in Natal. Two, he established the first newspaper in Natal. Three, he did many things together with other men and women. Round about 1907, thereabouts, John Dube established the ANC, which at that time was called the South African Native National Congress. And in 1936, John Dube told me and other young men, we were wanting to fight the government. We were going to make guns with gunpowder and pipes and to fight. Dube said, no, don't. But we said, Father, this is wrong. He said, yes, it is wrong, but fighting will not get you anywhere. We said, why? You know what had happened? All these farms, all the farms here and in other parts of South Africa originally belonged to black women. This is what you are not told in history. The first people to buy farms in South Africa were black women. And then in 1936, the government passed a law taking away all these farms from our mothers and giving them to Afrikaner farmers. Doctor, AIDS is a weapon of war, deliberately created. Here in South Africa, there is staying a white man. His name is Wouter Basson. He was a scientist during the apartheid government. Dr. Basson boasted in court that he had killed many Swapo gorillas in Namibia during the war there. The Swapo gorillas used to receive uniforms from Czechoslovakia And the South African Secret Service used to intercept those uniforms, and Wouter Basson used to smear them with medicine which had AIDS, so that if these men put on their uniforms, as they sweated, the AIDS would go into them. And he's free today. Now, what does this tell me? It tells me that this scientist knows the cure for AIDS. You can't fool around with a disease unless you have got protection against it, you and your assistants. There are other men here in South Africa, dignified men, scientists, who tell me that they used to work in 1969 in a place called Fort Detrick in America. They describe the strange working that was going on there. So, we have got to conquer AIDS. Another thing I wish to tell you, sir. The Pope is a fool. He should get himself a wife and lead a normal life. I'm sorry. He's a fool. He says that condom is not African. He's a liar. Our people used condoms before the white men came here.
Never go to pharaohs.
And you know why? How? You see, our chiefs had many wives. And these wives were free. They were not prisoners of the chief. If a wife wanted to find a lover amongst the warriors, she was free to do so. And they used the gallbladder of a goat to prevent the woman from falling pregnant. I could tell you more. And condoms were used in the days of the Stone Age. You see them painted on cave paintings inside caves here in South Africa. I don't know why the Pope is saying such crap. If our people had not had condoms made from the intestines of goats and the gallbladders of cows and goats, diseases which came from Europe, like syphilis and gonorrhea, would have wiped us out as they wiped out the Maori of New Zealand and the Black fellow people of Australia and the Native American people of the Americas. We were not wiped out. In fact, our kings could put 25,000 warriors on the battlefield within one day. Say, the reason why I want to build a place, a hospital, is because if we don't stop AIDS, and we can, we don't need money, say. I can tell you many things that have happened to me already. There are medicines which can help with AIDS. What is so funny is that AIDS doesn't respond to European medicine, but it responds to African herbal medicine. There are plants which we grow, which I wanted to grow here to train our people which plants to use against this terrible sickness. But the people who owned this farm, who are in England, said, no, don't do it. I tried to build a clinic there amongst those trees. You can still see the foundation. They said to me, no. I asked myself, why? Why? If you treat people of a disease like AIDS, you must not charge them money. You must treat them free. Mm. As my aunt he had the big disease in 1918. I was stopped, and when people from England bought me a farm not far from here, where I wanted to plant this medicine, to build this clinic quickly, that farm was taken away by the lawyer of the people of this farm. I can tell you more. Doctor, we have got to fight AIDS quickly. Yes, please. Please.
What you have to do before, European medicine is helping also black people. Herbal medicine is also helping black people. But the first thing that you have to do is to change your beliefs in AIDS. Your belief that you go to die from AIDS. Your belief that you go to be very sick from AIDS.
Yes,
that,
sir.
You have to do it psychologic.
The thing, sir,
change the belief of your people, and then you have the half less AIDS.
Say, I did that to my own children.
Yeah. But they believe also the doctors that there's only one thing. That's one thing that you have to believe. That is, you have to believe in yourself, in your body. Your body knows exactly what you must do. Your body knows it exactly. There's no doctor. There's never a doctor who has cured or healed one person. No doctor does that. You do it yourself.
Yes, sir.
No doctor does it. Your body knows what to do.
I know.
We can give you some accessoires, some tools, to help.
Yes,
you, but
I know,
you cure yourself. You heal yourself.
I know. That is why I want to build this hospital. Sir. I know all that. I will tell you why. Sir, in Africa, we believe that you are your own inyanga. You are your own shaman.
Yes.
That no death can kill you unless you want to do it. And another thing, the trouble with AIDS is that, look, Virginia, how long was I married to Cecilia?
42.
I had a wife for 42 years. My wife was fighting AIDS. She fought AIDS for children. She believed that our government should allow good black women to adopt AIDS orphans, because that is what our people did in the 1920s. If a woman died of gonorrhea and she left a child, the Sangoma used to adopt this child and bring him or her up. You know what happened to my wife, sir? My wife was mysteriously killed. Cecilia, the mother of my 7 children, she was mysteriously killed in a hospital in Mafikeng. A needle about this long, a stainless steel needle, was put into her womb, and she died a terrible death. Listen again. My sister, Mary, a strong Catholic woman, she too was murdered because she was protesting about what you just said, that the Pope says that condoms are un-Christian. And my sister said, no, Christian Catholics were using condoms in the 1920s. How could they be immoral? And my sister went to Natal to visit my aunt, who had given us the secret of fighting AIDS. My aunt, Myla, Mary went to visit Myla to consult with her about this big problem. We received a message that my sister had died in a car accident where the car rolled down the mountain, but there was no car found. My sister's body was found lying on the side of the road, and she was holding her granddaughter. The granddaughter, 6 years, was alive, and she showed signs that she had been tortured with cigarette fire. Now, my aunt Myla, who in 1936 made me wear these holy things, my aunt Myla was called out of her kraal by white men in Zululand, and she was taken into the bush and hacked to death. 3 important people in my life, my wife, my sister, my aunt, and now recently, doctors in a hospital here in South Africa told Virginia nonsense that she had a blockage of the heart. Now, I knew that Virginia is a Bushman by blood, and Bushman people don't get that kind of disease. I also knew that if I allowed Virginia to go to that hospital for operation, I would lose a second wife. I said no. We went by luck to a doctor in Johannesburg. He is from Israel. His name is Dr. Moshe Dayani. He's a very funny doctor. He uses natural medicines, very natural medicine. And he just looks you in the eye and he tells you exactly what is sick with you. And he's from Israel. I never knew there were such white people in Israel, but he is there now. And he saved Virginia, otherwise I would have lost my wife. Why? Every black person who fights AIDS in South Africa is getting brutally killed. Every black person who dies is said to have died of AIDS, so that all the people will continue hating him or her after death. We had a film star, a great dancer called Brenda Fassie. One day Brenda Fassie died of drugs. And now newspapers are saying that Brenda Fassie had AIDS, which was a lot of nonsense. So people are insulted even after death and say this is a weapon of war. I know how to fight AIDS. I know that one day I too will die. But I am ready. I've got nothing to live for now. Thank you, doctor. This is what I want. And the biggest problem we face are the children who are orphans of AIDS. Mm. These children are depressed. They suffer from depression because everybody beats up these children. They are not given food. Now we want to bring them to a place. Already Virginia has built 2 houses in her home where she will put some AIDS orphans, because these orphans suffer even worse than the AIDS victims. The child is always called child of a prostitute, child of a dirty woman, child of a dirty man, and the child grows up hating himself. This is the job we are trying to do, sir. I know we are going to fail, but we will try. I know we are going to fail because the powers behind us are terrible. And people tell me a lot of rubbish. They tell me it is the pharmaceutical people who are behind this nonsense. No, it is the United States government and the British government, and I will tell them to their faces. They are killing us, because killing people was something that was suggested many years ago by Bertrand Russell, who said that the British Empire should destroy the lower people, meaning us, with war, with hunger, and with disease. And this is happening right now. There you are, Doctor. We are facing a war which is funny. The enemy shoots at you and kills your people, but you can't shoot back at them. And Bush thinks that he's fighting terrorism while he is creating it. What does he think people like me, who have helped their children die, how does it feel like to look in the eyes of your child and you know why your child is dying? I fought for 2 years to save my daughter. I told my daughter she was a Zulu, a descendant of Shaka. She had the blood of Zulu kings in her, and she can't allow AIDS to kill her. We had to change her diet, Doctor. That's number one. There are foods which are given to our people which are highly poisonous. And one of these foods is what you call corn from America, which we call mealies. That thing is undigestible to the human system. If you want to help people to fight AIDS, you must change their diet and give them the oldest grain in Africa, say. Two, give them barley for their kidneys, very good. Give them millet, which is today given to birds as bird seed. Millet improves an AIDS person within 24 hours. I've watched it a lot. So there you are. There you are. This is what I'm hoping to do. Virginia has succeeded. She's braver than I am. But me, I have been fighting against bad people. People, for example, who, when I write books, they take all the money from those books, and this breaks my spirit. But I must go on. There you are, honorables. All of you, I wish to say this, please. You are all warriors for the truth. When one century comes in and another century goes away, there happens something very important everywhere in the world. If you look, when one century comes in and another century goes away, new countries are born, old countries die. When one millennium comes in and another millennium goes away, exactly the same thing happens. Not so long ago, nobody would have thought that the nations of Europe would become one country, the EU. Nobody would have thought that the huge country called the USSR would be gone now. It's gone. And at such a time, people with the Spirit of God, men and women, white and black, are born to try and save humankind. from its own.
Yes. Mr. Credo,
yes.
We can save our countries. We are one people, black and white, and we can save with circles of love. I when I have a cancer patient, I ask them not to fight to their cancer, to embrace their cancer, and to take lessons about their cancers, to change their beliefs, to change their diets, to beginning to breathe in their belly. And so many cancers are cured by me, with love, with empathy, and not war, no war. We are one people. We have a little circle of love here around you, and there are many other circles of love all over the world. And when all their circles are united, then we have not to fight. Then we are no victims. We are the winners with love.
Yes, doctor, but time is running away from us. Within the next few years, men like me and women like her will not be here anymore. And humanity will suffer misery as it has never suffered before. Look, doctor, what they are doing now. See what they are doing out there in Asia. They are feeding people a lot of crap. They say there is a sickness coming from the chickens into the people. That is bullshit, doctor. How many times have human beings been eating chicken? Let me tell you, if you fight AIDS, doctor, the first thing you must do is to advise your patients to go on a vegetarian diet. Advise your patient not to eat the red meat, but to eat only chicken and fish, but not always. Most of the time, the patient must be given fruit which you grow yourself, must be given beans, must be given green things, you know, like spinach. You must give this to your patient. You must turn your patient into what I call the sacred human animal. Here in South Africa, there is an animal. The animal is called an eland. This animal has got powerful milk which helps children with AIDS. Modern cows have got too much antibiotic on their milk. And if you want to help people, you must bring them back to the old mother way. First, I have a look how good the teeth my patient have got. And I act on that. And I have to start to clean the inside of the patient. He or she must learn to eat raw seed, fresh seed, like corn, not American corn, the corn which sorghum. And they must eat raw vegetables 3 times a week. And then you give them the herbal medicine. And the response is very powerful. But doctor, you must never give your patient medicine any time of the day. No, it doesn't work. In Africa, you must find out when in the day or the night your patient was born. And during that time, when the life force of this patient is strong in her, Give her the medicine and you will see something very funny. It's a big war, it's a big battle, and in the hospital which I wish to build, we must have books written for the patients to read themselves. Yes, make your patient your friend, not your patient. In Africa we say the doctor must not be here and the patient must be here. But these two must be like this. Then the patient is come alive.
That's my philosophy. Yeah. I give workshops on it. I teach it. That is my philosophy, what you are saying now. I spread it in Europe, in Belgium, to begin. But it's my philosophy. You are absolutely right that doctor and patient are on the same level.
Yeah.
That's so. And that I give no antibiotics, no cortisone. I treat patient with herbal and homeopathic medicine. And I change also, and that I will say, I change also their beliefs.
Das war die erste Ausgabe von CropFM Spezial. Ich bedanke mich bei allen fürs Zuhören und überlasse das Schlusswort Eike mit ein paar persönlichen Gedanken zu Credo Mutwa.
Ja, ich denke mir halt so, ein wichtiger Faktor über den Credo Mutwa ist, der seine Lebensphilosophie ja sehr gut beschreibt, ist, dass er auch als sehr alter Mann mit über 80 sich immer wieder, noch immer in den Busch zurückzieht, wo er fernab von jeglicher Zivilisation lebt, ohne Strom, ohne Elektrizität, telefonisch nicht erreichbar ist. Und wirklich ganz mit der Natur lebt und ganz in die Natur eingebunden und mit der Natur verbunden lebt. Und dass er das immer wieder macht, um seinen Körper daran zu erinnern, was das bedeutet, Teil dieser Erde zu sein, Teil des Busches zu sein, Teil des Ganzen zu sein. Und ich denke mir, das ist zum Beispiel etwas, was ich nach wie vor sehr beachtlich finde, dass das jemand macht, nicht weil er muss, weil es notwendig ist, weil er keine anderen Möglichkeiten hat, sondern Credo hat alle Möglichkeiten, kann alle Möglichkeiten der modernen Zivilisation nutzen und findet es für sich trotzdem erstrebenswert, immer wieder zurückzugehen auf die Basis. Und ich denke mir, das beschreibt ihn sehr schön und sehr gut. Und das ist ein wichtiger Teil für mich, wenn ich so an ihn denke. Thank you.
Stay.